ready to talk some Husky football, but I got to say, before we dive in with our conversation with Scott Eklund, Bucky, I never knew Baron Davis sounded like Tone Loc. That's what a great voice Baron Davis has in that promo there, you know, with the Point God podcast. Yeah, it sounds like, he's going to get ready to do the funky Comadina is what it sounds like to me. So, yeah, check out Tone Loc and his Point God podcast right here at iHeart. Chug and Buck Sports Radio 950 KJR. Let's talk some Husky football. Scott Eklund is now with us. TheDogMan.com. You got to check them out at all times for all Huskies coverage, football, basketball, you name it. And since we're done with UW Spring football, Scott's been with us all month long. We had to have one final recap conversation with him. And we're going to take a little more time to do it. That's why we don't do it at 8:45 today. We're doing it at 8:25 so we can cover more ground. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, guys. It's a rainy day, but not too bad.
Not raining here yet, but I like rainy days, Scott. I really do. I like them. I lived in the desert for 20 years. It's nice to have rain. I like rain. All right, well, let's get into this. I mean, I'm going to start with the headline that I'm stealing from a local newspaper here this morning. It's a topic that you and I and Bucky have discussed in the past, but they kind of put it in black and white on the website this morning, and that is, the UW spring battle at running back has turned into zero answered questions. Could there really be a fall camp battle at running back between seven different guys for carries?
Well, I don't know if it's really a battle between seven different guys, but, you know, as spring kind of progressed last month, I think a lot of people who were watching every day, like us in the media, and there were fans that were in the stands as well, and that's kind of been a consensus over on Dogman, is that there might not be a winner yet, but that two guys kind of started to rise to the top a little bit, and that was Cameron Davis and Richard Newton. And those guys have kind of seemed to separate themselves from the rest of the pack. Now, Sean McGruder returns for his senior season. Kamari Pleasant returns for his senior season. And they already kind of know what they have with those guys. Sean McGruder is a smaller back who's kind of jitterbug and can be explosive at times. And Kamari Pleasant's that more, 230-pound bruiser that you'll run right up the middle. But Cam Davis, Richard Newton, those guys both really give you a lot of different things you can do. Both can catch the ball pretty well. Richard Newton showed a real explosive first step, something we hadn't seen from him in previous seasons. So those are kind of the four that I think are going to emerge and be kind of your main ball carriers this fall. How that kind of shakes out is who gets the most carries between the bunch will be interesting to watch. And then I think guys like Jamie on Sunday, Sam Adams, and Caleb Berry, the other three guys in the battle, they'll be battling for reps. Caleb Berry might end up redshirting for all we know because he's a true freshman that came in a little bit early to try and earn some playing time. But, man, I just don't know how he sees time this year that's going to be significant enough to keep to take off his redshirt.
Scott, in a perfect world, who or how many guys would Jimmy Lake like to have running the ball? I mean, we're talking about seven guys potentially in the mix, and you said maybe there's the four that you mentioned that probably were going to be more so in the mix. But in a perfect world, how many guys would he like to have just one guy emerge as the every down guy, or is his perfect scenario a running back by committee with two or three guys?
Well, I think, and the way college football and the NFL is really going nowadays, you're looking at two to three guys getting a vast majority of the carries. We're probably talking 90 to 95% of the carries. And I think if things kind of broke down, they'd like the starter to get somewhere around 50% of the reps and the other two guys to split the other 40% of the reps, 45% of the reps that they get. So, in a perfect world, I think they'd have a three-man rotation, maybe be able to throw in a fourth here and there, and then get some of the younger guys carries toward the end of games when hopefully you're up by, you know, 20, 30 points, and you can just run the ball down their throats and everything like that. But, you know, with the way college and pro football is going and the amount of abuse running backs take every play, I mean, they're like linemen where they're getting hit or hitting somebody on pretty much every play. So, you know, and Washington's not going to throw the ball a ton. They're, you know, they'll throw the ball 30, 35 times, maybe 40 times a game. But, you know, if you're running 75 plays, that's still 35 carries that you're going to have to be splitting up. So I think Jimmy Lake, Keith Bonifa, John Donovan, the three guys who are involved in all that, those decision-making, they'd probably like three, but they'll take four if they really need it. And those guys will be contributors on special teams as well.
Scott Eklund is with us from Dogman, DAWGMAN. And, of course, that's where you go throughout the entire calendar year, not just the football season, for all your Husky football information. You got to check out what Scott and the gang do. And he's joined us all month long to talk spring football. You can follow him at Scott Eklund. That's E-K-L-U-N-D. You said about throwing the football 35, 40 times a game, but who's going to throw the football 35, 40 times a game, Scott? How did that all turn out this spring?
Well, of course, it's clear as mud, just like the running back situation. I mean, I think if the season were to start tomorrow, we're talking about Dylan Morris being the starter, and I think he's the odds-on favorite to be the starter come September 4th when they take on Montana and then the following week versus Michigan. But, boy, Patrick O'Brien, the transfer in from Colorado State, really made a move in spring ball. We equated it to there was kind of a canyon between Dylan Morris and Patrick O'Brien, and then Sam Heward, the one that everybody kind of wants to talk about, the five-star quarterback legacy. He had another chasm between him and Patrick O'Brien. And then all of a sudden, Patrick O'Brien started to vault himself up, and he actually started getting some reps in the first unit. Now, I think they just wanted to get some film on him and see what he was doing. It was nothing that Dylan Morris was doing wrong. It was just O'Brien was really playing well. And you have to reward someone playing well. And he was making good decisions, throwing the ball well, down the field, pushing it down the field, hitting some guys for some long plays. And I think the coaches just wanted to see what they have. I would still say that Dylan Morris is the leader this fall, or, you know, heading into the summer and then into the fall camp. But that canyon that maybe it was the Grand Canyon is now not so much that anymore. It's like a small gap you could jump over. So I think O'Brien has closed the gap, but Dylan Morris is still the guy who's been in this offense for four games and for a year and a half. And I think that the coaches want to see what O'Brien can do this summer and who takes the reins and really, really runs with the opportunity. I still think it's going to be Dylan Morris as your starter, but it is not a sure thing. And for somebody who, like me, who was pretty sure that Dylan Morris was going to be your starter, I'm not saying that I don't think he will be, but I'm saying I'm not as strongly of that opinion anymore.
Scott, how do you feel about the guys they'll be throwing the ball to, whoever it is that starts at quarterback? I mean, you lost some guys in the receiving core. You added some guys. Did anything stand out in spring ball as far as the receiving core went?
Yeah, for those who don't know, Washington lost five receivers who could be on this roster right now to transfers. Austin Osborne, Marquise Spiker, Ty Jones, Jordan Chin, and Puka Nacua are all gone. And those were kind of, you know, two of those guys were your leading receivers last year. So your top two of your top receivers. So, you know, Washington had to come in and find some guys. They've got Terrell Bynum, really good, solid wide receiver, but probably a better number three or number two guy. Maybe not the number one guy. So you need a guy like Jalen McMillan, Romo Dunsey, Sawyer Racanelli. Those are all the returning redshirt freshmen who have all looked really, really good at times and all looked like redshirt freshmen at times. So I would say the wide receiver group was a little inconsistent this spring. They had some struggles with drops, but guys would vault themselves up and do really well, and then they'd fall back to the pack a little bit, and then they'd vault themselves up again and do really well and come back to the pack. Another guy to keep an eye on is Jalen Polk. We didn't really see him that much toward the end. I think he was dealing with just a small minor injury. He was on the sidelines. He was doing work, but just wasn't doing a lot of team stuff. But Jalen Polk, he's a guy from Texas Tech, 6'2", 6'3", 190 pounds, caught 22 passes as a true freshman last season. He's still a true freshman eligibility-wise, and looks the part and can get it done. The coaches really were excited about his progress and felt like he was playing really well toward the end. And then you've got a couple guys that are coming in this summer, and Jabez Tanay, who was Sam Heward, one of his top guys. Sam Heward's top guys at Kennedy Catholic. He'll be in, but he'll be a true freshman. And then you have Giles Jackson, a transfer from Michigan, who will be here late June, and he is a special, special guy. Think of Chico McClatch or what he was as an athlete, and then just maybe even a little more electric than Chico McClatcher was. So excited to get all those guys in, but I think the coaches would say if you were to ask them what their assessment of the wide receiver group was that they were inconsistent and they need to play better as we get into fall.
Scott Eklund from Dogman is with us. I wish we had more time. I'd love to get your thoughts on how the ZTF and Latu injury replacement hunt went, but we'll just lead people to dogman.com and they can get that information there. I wanted to spend the last minute we have together just asking you, Jimmy Lake's really making a big deal out of spring football. He wants it to feel like SEC country up here. Why is that? What is the value to having packed stands for spring football and making spring football a must event to attend as a Husky fan? Why is that so important to this program and to Jimmy Lake personally?
Well, it's not just important to this program. It's important to the conference because out here in the West, people just don't think that football is taken that seriously here out in the West. People, you know, Oregon usually is the one with the biggest spring game, and they usually have, 25,000, 30,000, whereas the SEC are getting 100,000 for spring practices, and so our spring games. And I think a lot of it, he wants to get the fans excited about Husky football, and you got to start selling your program and marketing it. And it's the way to show recruits, hey, when you come up here with this name, image, likeness thing, we're going to have fans in the stands. You're going to be able to have your brand be accelerated, and you're going to have a brand here at the University of Washington. We got Microsoft, we've got Boeing, we've got Starbucks, we've got Amazon, all of these big time companies that'll support our program, but also be able to be something you can be part of. And that's the way they're marketing this name, image, likeness thing that's coming out that nobody really knows exactly how it's going to play into things. But recruiting is the heartblood, the heartbeat of a program. And if you don't recruit well, you're not going to be able to play well on the national stage. And I think that's one of the big reasons. But I think Jimmy Lake just loves football and he wants people to be excited about it. And how are you going to get excited about going to a practice when you can actually go and watch a game?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man. Hey, thank you very much. We leaned heavily on you this past month. I don't know where we'd be without you. So we appreciate you. We appreciate Dogman. Any plug you want to make for anything you guys got going on right now?
Well, in June 1st is when all the official visits can start and the kids can actually get out and visit. That's the first time in 15, 16 months that kids have been able to visit campuses. We are all over it. We've already been reporting on some of the guys setting up official visits. Come on over, dawgman.com. We'd love to have you guys. We run promos all summer long, all fall long. Come over and join us. The conversations over there are just the tip of the iceberg. Lots of stuff going on.
All right. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Scott Eklund from Dogman, and they're a must to follow if you're a Husky football fan. You got to take advantage of it, and they're all over the recruiting scene if that's a passion of yours, because it's certainly a passion of theirs. We appreciate Scott. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Eklund, E-K-L-U-N-D. Coming up next, the latest on Aaron Rodgers, Sports Radio 950, KJR.